If you have your scriptures with you this morning, turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3, starting at verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. Do you find that interesting that Paul wanted them to pray for him? I don't. I also covet your prayers. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. If Paul needed prayer, I definitely need your prayer. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful. Amen? The Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Lord Jesus, I do thank you this morning for your grace, and thank you for your word. And I pray that your word would be applied to our hearts, and I pray that you'd give us alert and open minds, Lord, so that we might accept what you have to say to us this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. In your name we pray. Amen. For 11 years we pastored in Joshua Tree, California. That's the high desert up over Palm Springs. This time of the year it's hot. This time of the year it's really hot. Joshua Tree is a unique place. Not much there, except there is a huge naval base, McKaxie Naval Base. It's a base that is used for training Marines. They have a hospital there because Marines have a way of getting themselves hurt. Even when they are training, they have a way of getting themselves hurt. Joshua Tree in that area is the most similar terrain or climate that we have on American soil to Iraq and Afghanistan. And so at that time, at least, pretty much all Marines that were going to be stationed or going to be deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan first came to McKaxie. They came to that base so that they could learn what it's like to go through that intense heat and sand and cactuses and Joshua trees. I knew many Marines during that time. Got to know them personally, and they're all very unique in their nature and different perspectives. However, I discovered that there was one characteristic that is consistent throughout. One characteristic that makes them Marine. Their faithfulness. Their faithfulness. The motto of the Marine Corps is Semper Fidelis, whereas they say Semper Fi. It simply means always faithful. Always faithful. Faithful to the Corps, faithful to their fellow soldiers. Noble statement, noble sentiment for sure. It is a key point to their success. And I can tell you from experience, these young men and women personify it. Semper Fi, always faithful, However, there is one that is more faithful than the greatest of Marines. One who personifies Semper Fi more than the best of them or the best of us. According to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11, we read that Jesus, as he comes again as a conquering king, he's riding a white stallion. And John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. There is a rider whose name is called Faithful and True. Jesus Christ is faithful. He is true. With justice, Jesus will reign. As he comes again, he will reign. He will reign with magnificence. In faithfulness, he will fulfill the will of God. Just as when he came and was born of the Virgin, he fulfilled the will of God. Just as he humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross, he fulfilled the will of God in faithfulness. He is truth. He is Jesus Christ. He is the one who will never leave us. He is the one who will never forsake us. He is our comforter, and he will not fail. For he is the faithful one. He is our healer, and he will not fail, for he is the faithful one. He is our Savior, and he will not fail, for he is the faithful one. He is our friend, and he sticks closer than a brother because he is the faithful one. All of the promises of God are ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we can trust in them, for Jesus Christ is the faithful one. But how is the Lord faithful? Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, well, 3. He will deliver us from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He is faithful to strengthen and to protect in that day of attack from the enemy. He will strengthen you, for he is faithful. You do know that Satan roams around, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know that. But you know what? We have no cause to fear. For the faithful one will strengthen us and protect us. He is your protector, the faithful one. The faithful one is standing guard over you. Has he not given you the armor of God to prepare you, to equip you in the day of evil? Has he not been faithful to stand by you? God has equipped us so that in the day of evil, we may be able to stand firm in him, knowing that he is faithful. From the helmet of salvation to the belt of truth, from the breastplate of righteousness to the shield of faith, from the protection for our feet and the sword of the Spirit, God has equipped us with everything we need in the day of evil. He is faithful. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 God is faithful in that it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he also will also provide a way out so that you can stand against it. God is faithful. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you cannot handle. He knows the temptations that you are going to face. And in his sovereignty, in his power, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand. Who likes chocolate?
Well, I can't have it, though. I like it, but I can't have it, so don't do it to me.
Thank you.
I would like for you to open that up. But the rule is, you can only have one piece. You can only have one piece. It all is one piece. No, it's one of those that breaks up into little tiny pieces. Only one piece. Only one piece. It's a temptation for Janice this morning. I have heard it said that strength is the ability to break a chocolate bar into pieces with your bare hands and then just eat one piece. Don't you want to eat? Have you had one piece? Well, go ahead. We'll wait. Eat a piece. Go ahead. Open that up and break off one piece. When you eat a bar of chocolate, can you break it into pieces and then just eat one? You can? One at a time. One at a time. It's a difficult thing. All right, there's John. Janice, you're eating your one piece. Does it taste good? Oh, yeah. It tastes good. Don't you want to have another piece? Oh, she's grabbing for another one. Temptation can grip our souls. The more we think about it, the more we want it. But he has said he will provide a way of escape, but he's not talking about bars of chocolate. Lay's potato chips. Who likes Lay's potato chips? Oh, Bruce. You want it? You want it? Lay's for years had the motto, you can say it, bet you can't eat just... Go ahead, open it up. Go ahead, open it up. Can you just eat one? One handful. No, one chip. One bag. Oh, don't you want to have another one? Oh, yeah. Given the opportunity, we will eat the whole bag. Given the opportunity, we'll eat the big bag, the family bag. These are mild temptations. In the end, does it really matter if Matt eats the whole bag? No, not really. Not really. If he's diabetic, perhaps. Does it really matter if Janice eats the whole candy bar? It's a mild temptation. Laugh at it, we can have a little fun with it. However, temptation as it comes from the enemy is not a mild thing. It is extremely serious, and we must resist that temptation. But we also can understand that God always provides a way of escape. So if we fall into temptation, we cannot blame God, for God has provided a way of escape. It's just that we have chosen not to take it. Or perhaps it's that we haven't put on the full armor of God. Or perhaps we haven't been reading his word. Or we haven't been walking close enough to him. But if we fall into temptation, we ought not say, Lord, why did you let me do that? He did not. In reality, he provided a way of escape. You say, are you sure? Yes, I am sure, because God's word says he will always provide a way of escape. And God is faithful. Many have pierced their souls and have wrecked their lives in the grips of sin. Sin is not a game. It's not a casual thing. It's not something that we should make light of. However, the Lord Jesus Christ provides a way of escape from temptation. If we will trust him, if we will lean on him, if we will draw close to him, he will give us the strength in the midst of every temptation. How do I know this? Because God says, I am faithful. I am faithful. Psalm 86, just some verses to share with you. Psalm 86, verse 15, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding. Abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, we know that God keeps his word. His promises are sure. You can put your full trust in his word, for he will not fail. Scripture says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Why? Because God is faithful. He keeps his covenants with us. As Jesus died on the cross and he presented his blood before the Heavenly Father as a sacrifice, as an atonement for you and I, he is faithful to do that. His faithfulness endures. So there will never come a time that God speaks to you and says, you know, that whole deal I made with you and the salvation that I offered you, and time's up, I changed my mind. You're no longer saved. No, God will never, never, ever, never, ever, never do that, because God is faithful. Psalm 36, 5, the faithfulness of God extends to the clouds. How high are the clouds? Pretty far. Pretty high. I think they extend long after that, because God is infinite and his faithfulness is infinite. I love Psalm 119:90. The faithfulness of God endures to all generations. For he is the eternal God, he is the great God, he is the loving God, he is the holy God. God's faithfulness endures not just to me and not just to my children, but to my grandchildren, to their children, to their children, to their children, to their children, to their children. And you know what? It has extended from my parents to their parents, to their parents, to their parents, all the way back to Eve, all the way back to Adam. God's faithfulness has endured, because that's God. That's who God is. Lamentations chapter 3. You know what Lamentations is. You know what a lamentation is. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. You think you have a hard life? You read about the life of Jeremiah. He was rejected. He suffered. They got so tired of him telling about God that they put him down in a pit. And he stayed down in there for quite a while. And after a while, they opened that pit up. And they said, Jeremiah, are you done talking about your God? Could you please talk about something else? And in response, he just started talking about God again. And they put him the lid back on. He stayed in that pit longer. In all of the years that Jeremiah prophesied and ministered, not a single person responded to his word that he gave them from God. No one. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, and for the most, a lament is, oh, look how horrible things are. Gritting teeth and suffering and all of that, it's a lament. It's a lament. It's a lament because life is hard. Life is hard. If you ever watched that great show, Hee Haw, you remember the song, Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That is a lament. And that's the basis for Lamentations. Of course, they deserved everything they had received because they had gone into deep idolatry and they were in the judgment of God. And at that point, they would not repent. They would not hearken unto the voice of God. But in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, there's a couple of verses. It actually extends a little farther than that. But in the midst of that lament, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. In the midst of all the misery, Jeremiah penned that. I don't know about you, but if I have a choice between singing gloom, despair, and agony on me, or singing the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, let's choose to sing about the faithfulness of God. For He is ever faithful. He is ever faithful, and He will not leave you. He will not leave you to your own devices. Reverend John McDeth is quoted as saying that Melanchthon said, if I had no care, I would have no prayer. One of the reasons we suffer is to drive us toward God. Spurgeon said, sometimes God sends His love letters in black-edged envelopes. It is true that life can be very hard. He allows us to taste the bitterness of want and the desolation of bereavement. If you have lived many years, you have passed through the narrows. We have all been there, and it is not always easy to see the divine control. It looks as if things have gotten out of hand, and somehow or other, we have been forgotten. When there is no one to hand it, say to yourself, God is faithful. Who will not suffer the pain to exceed the measure of my endurance. My friends, put your trust in God alone, for He alone is eternally faithful. Do not put your trust in things of this world. Do not put your trust in people in this world. Do not put your trust in your resource. Definitely do not put your resource in your your trust in your government. Rather, put your trust in God. Amen. For God is faithful. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning, and I love you this morning for...